At the end of our lives, we do not answer to the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the Libertarian Party, to a politician, to a person who's pressuring us to have the same opinion as them. We answer to Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate judge of our life. At the end of my life, I will not answer to the people who are offended by me. I will answer to Jesus.
You're here on purpose. God's not finished with you yet. Your best days are right in front of you, and you have victory in your life because Jesus lives in you.
If you got a Bible, go to Philippians chapter 3. You can make some noise this morning. Paul gives us this term, citizens of heaven, because he's talking to a group of people who are Roman citizens, and they take pride in being Roman citizens. They love being part of the Roman Empire. And being part of the Roman Empire makes them, you know, it's kind of a big deal. The area in Philippi, these people, they feel like they've got all these rights, and they put their hope and even their trust and security in who's in office in the Roman Empire and what laws are being passed, what's going on. We need to remind ourselves before we are citizens of any other country, if you're a believer, Paul says you're a citizen of heaven. In Philippians 3, verse 20, he says, we are citizens of heaven. Why was he saying this? He was saying, church at Philippi, don't get it mixed up. Remember where your allegiance lies. I know you're getting, you know, worked up and maybe even confused and getting into debates with family members and friends about all the political issues, but you are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. He was trying to remind them, Caesar is not your savior. Your president is not your savior. Your congressman is not your savior. Your senator is not your savior. Hey, America Church in 2020, Jesus Christ is still your savior. Don't get it mixed up. His agenda, his platform is unshakable no matter what's going on in America. I think the question I want to preach at today is, how do I live as a follower of Christ during the crazy times right now in America? And I know we have people watching from all over the world. And by the way, to every nation out there, you are valuable, you are loved, and America needs your prayers. Paul says in verse 21, he will take our weak mortal bodies and he will change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he brings everything under his control. Everybody say, we are citizens of heaven. What does that mean? Jesus is, you know, when he shows up in his time, he is so radical that the conservatives don't know what box to put him in. The liberals don't know what box to put him in. He's radical to everybody. He's calling people to a peaceful way of life, but he's also calling people to a radical way of life. He's saying when someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. When someone takes your coat, give them more. If someone asks you to walk a mile, walk a second mile with them. Love people, forgive people. When people do things mean to you, treat them with kindness. Jesus was preaching this radical message, and then, you know, his followers were expecting him to overthrow the Roman Empire, to stir up a violent revolt, and he didn't do it. Instead, he lays his life down, dies on a cross, and then he leaves after he raises from the dead, and he calls his disciples to go and preach this gospel in Jerusalem, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And that's the kingdom that God's called us to be a part of, a kingdom, citizens of heaven. When Jesus first met with his followers, he said in Luke 9, verse 23, follow after me. And anyone who wants to come after me must deny himself, must deny herself and take up their cross daily. Everybody say daily. Daily. Following Jesus is going to cost you something. Salvation is free. You could call on the name of the Lord and get saved like that. But following Jesus costs us something. Does the Jesus that you're following right now, American church, cost you anything? There was a group of people who wanted to be vegetarians, but they didn't want to be all in on the vegetarian thing. So they called themselves flexitarians. And what they said, no, true story. What they said is, we are vegetarians, except for sometimes we eat meat. Not all the time, just occasionally. And when like meat's being served, we're not going to reject it. We will receive it. We will eat it. But other than that, we are vegetarians. So we're going to call ourselves flexitarians. In other words, we'll do it when it is easy. We'll do it when it's comfortable. We'll eat, you know, vegetables when it's okay, when it fits with our agenda. There's people who live with that same mindset with Christianity. They live with a picking and choosing of what they're going to believe. I'll take a hamburger with no tomatoes, no lettuce. I'll take Christianity without the commitment. I'll take Christianity without the morals and the values about marriage. I'll take Christianity without, you know, I'm going to pick and choose because, you know, Paul, like I'm political. I've got a political party I'm connected to before I start diving into everything. How far are you going to follow Jesus, American church? How much are we committed to this? Well, I want all the blessings. I want the blessings and the benefits without the sacrifice. I'll give as long as the economy's good. I'll be happy as long as my president gets elected. But if he doesn't, I'm out in the streets and I'm screaming and crying and moving away and I'm angry at everybody. Is Jesus your savior or is a president your savior? I came to offend everybody with the cross today. And if you get offended, send an email to the Bible because that's what I'm preaching. John chapter 6, verse 60, Jesus said something very strong, something similar to what I just said. And it said, in this moment, people were angry and offended. Disciples, people who had been with him. They were with him as long as he was feeding them the bread and the fish. But now once he starts preaching a message that offends them, it says they were angry. And in verse 66, at this, many of his disciples deserted him and left him. And Jesus turned to Peter and John and a couple of the close ones. And he said, do you want to leave too? And I love how Peter responds. He says, where would I go? You are life for me. Is Jesus life for you? Is this all, like, are you all in with Jesus? Peter said, I don't care what I lose. I don't care who thinks I'm popular. I don't care how many Instagram followers stop following me. I don't care who doesn't like my post. I don't care if I lose my job or if I lose my reputation. You are life to me. You are everything. I want to go all in. I'm a citizen of heaven, Jesus. That's what he was calling his disciples to. Radical devotion. Like if I truly say that prayer, you are Lord of my life. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If I'm not giving him my emotions, my mindset, my beliefs, if I'm not surrendering to his word, then what am I doing? Am I just wasting my time? Am I just playing games? Right now, there's 2 billion people who claim to be followers of Christ. But I wonder how much our lives would line up with our prayers. I wonder how much our life would line up with the words that we say. Jesus wanted people to count the cost. In Matthew 7, he tells a large crowd on Judgment Day. Anytime Jesus had a large crowd, he always like started subtracting the crowd. I think his followers were like, hey, can you calm it down? Just preach like feel-good messages because we all came for the feel-good message. But Jesus didn't care about the crowd. He wanted followers. He wasn't interested in building a fan base. He wanted followers. He wanted truly devoted, committed followers after him. He said, on Judgment Day, there will be people who come to me and say, I preached in your name. I casted out demons. I went on missions church. I came to church. And he said, I will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. Why would Jesus say that? He was saying these people have exchanged intimacy for information. They know a whole lot about me. They don't know me. They know my stories. They know Daniel in the lion's den. They know David and Goliath. They know their parents' encounters with Christ, but they don't have a personal revelation and a personal intimate relationship with me. See, Jesus doesn't want the American church living a relationship with God through their pastor. He wants the American church, the Romanian church, the Russian church, the Canadian church, the African church, the Chinese church, whatever country you're from. He wants the church, capital C church, to have personal relationships with him. Jesus came to do away with the whole idea of the priest is who talks to God for me. The pastor talks to God for me. No, God wants to talk to you. God wants you to know him. God wants you to have a revelation of his word. In the same way you get excited about hobbies and sports and celebrities and politicians and election, all these things that we get into in news channels and Netflix and episode shows, whatever it is that you love, God says, I want you to have that same, even higher love and admiration and intimate relationship with me. In Philippians 1, verse 9, Paul continues on this citizens of heaven message. And he says in verse 9, this is my prayer, church, that your love will flourish. Notice that he says that your opinions will flourish. He doesn't say that. That your opinions will get bigger. He says, let your love get stronger. That you will not only love much, but you will love well. Learn to love appropriately. There's an appropriate way to love. Use your head. This is a time, church, do not lose your head. Oh my goodness, don't lose your head. Don't let your feelings run your mouth. Don't let your feelings run your reactions. Test your feelings so that your love is sincere. Listen to what Paul's saying. He says, live a lover's life, circumspect, exemplary, a life that Jesus would be proud of. At the end of our lives, we do not answer to the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the Libertarian Party, to a politician, to a person who's pressuring us to have the same opinion as them. We answer to Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate judge of our life. At the end of my life, I will not answer to the people who are offended by me. I will answer to Jesus. We got to remind ourselves, Christ is a firm foundation. No one who's running for public office is the ultimate solution for what ails a nation. Only God can heal America. Only God can save America.
Now you can watch Pastor Paul's message from anywhere at victory.com.
With hours of streaming content and several viewing options right at your fingertips, you can watch archived messages from his most inspirational sermons, messages on popular topics like faith, forgiveness, love, and relationships. You can also find Pastor Paul's unique teachings on biblical heroes like David, Daniel, Nehemiah, and St. Paul. You'll also be able to watch live services and interact with one of our pastors. There are so many new ways to connect with us now online. Sign up for Pastor Paul's daily devotional, Victory for Today, a special word from God and note from Pastor Paul delivered right to your inbox every day. You don't have to wait for Pastor Paul's messages to be broadcast on TV before you see them. Go online and watch all of the life-changing content anytime. Go right now to check it out, victory.com.
Go on to verse 15. He says, it's true that there are some here who preach Christ because without me, with me out of the way, they think they can step into the spotlight. They preach with the wrong motives. But Paul says, I just want the name of Christ to be lifted up. And then he goes to verse 27. Watch what he says in verse 27. He says, stand united, singular in vision, contending for people's trust in the message, the good news, not flinching or dodging in the slightest before the opposition. Your courage and your unity, church, will show them what they're up against. Defeat for them, victory for you, both because of God. There's far more to this life than trusting in Christ. There's also suffering for Christ. And the suffering is as much a gift as the trusting. Three amens on that one. Yay, suffering! Paul says this is what comes with the territory. You're going to follow Jesus. You're going to walk through times where it's painful. The cross is not a symbol of you know, everything going your way. The cross is a symbol of death. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote during the time where he was following Jesus when Hitler was killing millions of Jews, he said, Christ bids us come and die. Christ bids us to come and to die to our selfishness, to die to fear, to die to worry, to die to our own agenda, and to allow his agenda, his platform, to become ours. So Paul says this in chapter 3, verse 15, let's keep focused. Church, let's keep focused. Focused on what? CNN, Fox News, MSNBC? Focused on Vice President Biden, President Trump, focused on Kamala, focused on Pence. Who should we focus on? He says, let's keep focused on the main goal. Keep the main thing the main thing. What's the main thing? Jesus. The cross stands between it all. The cross stands above it all. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. In other words, go all in with Jesus. Go all in with Jesus. Let's stay on this track, citizens of heaven. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells this story. And he says, this wise man built his house on the rock. And he put to practice everything that he heard me say. And because he put to practice everything he heard me to say, he was building his house on the rock. And then the storms came, the rain, the wind blew, and the streams rose. And the house did not move because it was built on the rock. And then he says, there was a foolish man who heard my words, but he did not put them into practice. And he built his house on the sand. And when the storms came, by the way, the storm falls on the just and the unjust. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we are exempt from difficult storms. Following Jesus is going to, you're going to walk through all, if you're experiencing attacks from every side, you're following Jesus. If you're experiencing persecution, you're following. If people hate you sometimes because you believe in the word of God, you're following Jesus. If everybody loves you and everything's easy, get back in your Bible and see if you're lining up with everything God's. What I'm trying to say, Jesus says, is there going to be hard times on both. But those who build their house on the rock, those who put this word into practice, they'll be able to stand. Those who build on the sand, it's going to fall apart. I remember in 2004 when I went to ORU and I was a freshman, and I could tell people were building their life on certain things, everything going their way. Is that a firm foundation to stand on? Everything's going to go my way. Everything, I'm going to get all my prayers answered, and I'll have faith in the wild as long as everything goes my way. And then it doesn't. And I watched, even in my own life. Do I have faith when everyone gets healed? Or do I have faith even when people don't get healed? Like when my father passed away, and I prayed for his healing from cancer, and then he went to heaven. Or what about when America goes through times that are shaky? When the Roman Empire was going through shaky times and the Philippian church, they were trying to figure out where their allegiance was at, where their security was at, where their hope was at, where their happiness was at. I can trust in America, Paul. America will never let me down. I pledged allegiance to America. I know America's going to be there for me. I'm thankful for everyone who's fought for this nation, but I will not idolize this nation. I will not make this nation my God. When I die, I don't go to America. I go to heaven. When you die, you don't go to America. Jesus gave us a prayer to pray, and he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God has a destination for all believers. Let's be careful that we don't make America a god. It's good to vote. It's good to love your country, whether you live in America, whether you live in Canada, or you live in Russia, or you live in Congo or Ghana or Tanzania. It's good to love your country, love your roots, but do not idolize your nation, because it will disappoint you at some point. I wanted to make this one because I think some of us, we like this. My pastor preaching sermons that make me feel good. Let me tell you what happened today. That's not going to work out long in this church. You better find a different church if you want every sermon to be feel good. And listen, God has not called us to a feel good, always get things our type of way. God has not called us to stake our life. Well, Paul, I can count on my family and friends. Life comes down to family, family, family. I can count on my wife. I can count on my husband. I can count on my son. I can count on my dad. I can count on my family. Family will disappoint you. Friends will disappoint you. I didn't realize that I had built my faith on my dad until he was gone. Sometimes you don't realize where your foundation is at until it's gone. Your job, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter. Your choice for president. As long as my president gets elected, I'll be really happy. I'll be at church next Sunday as long as my president's elected. If he's not, I'm going to be out in the streets going crazy. Oh, Paul, you're breaking my heart. No, I'm just reminding you that any foundation except Jesus is collapsible. Any foundation except Jesus is shakable. It's breakable. It's collapsible. This will disappoint you. This will collapse. And I love my dad. I know he's in heaven. But I had to realize after a few months of him being gone, I had to come to the hard realization that I had put a lot of my happiness in him. And I watched even people leave Christianity after he passed away because they were banking everything on him. You don't realize how much you've put your security and identity and so much in people or in jobs remember talking to this one guy who worked at his job for 30 years. It was a good job, good paying job. He felt valuable. He felt loved. He found his identity in his job. His job meant everything to him. And then it was taken from him. The housing market crash in 2008 collapsed. And it was gone. It collapsed. And he realized, I had put everything on something that could not stand. That's what happens when we put our hope in that kind of stuff. That's why as citizens of heaven, we've got to remind ourselves, okay, yeah, social status. Paul, I'm so like, Instagram means everything to me. Facebook, everybody likes me. I've got followers. And then they censor you. Or they remove. What's going to happen when Instagram gets removed? I don't know. Our world's going to be a whole lot better and a whole lot less toxic. That's for sure. I'm kind of done sometimes with social. I'm thankful for the opportunity. But I think we got to remind ourselves. We got to remind ourselves that I am not defined by my salary. I'm not defined by my popularity. I'm not defined by my family. That I've got to build a firm foundation right here. This is the only thing that will not collapse. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. As citizens of heaven, our foundation must be built on Christ. We got to remind ourselves, Christ is a firm foundation. No one who's running for public office is the ultimate solution for what ails a nation. Only God can heal America. Only God can save America. 15 of you believe it. As a citizen of heaven, we're called not just to wear a cross on our necklace, but to carry a cross into our business, to carry a cross into our campus, to carry a cross into our schools. Whether you go to Jinx, Union, Victory, whatever school you're at, whatever place you go, whatever company you work for, God has called us to carry a cross. Well, is that biblical? Yeah, it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus says it. Anyone who wants to follow after me must deny himself and take up their cross daily, daily. Not just once in your lifetime, but every single day, to say no to self and yes to Jesus. Yes to the way of the cross. In Revelation 3, verse 16, John said that the church has become lukewarm. And because they are lukewarm, Jesus said, I will spit them out of my mouth. This is a call for Christians to get radical. This is a call for Christians to get done with the comfortable, convenient consumer Christianity. What's in it for me? How do I benefit from this? It's time to live with the sacrificial, full commitment to find your calling, to forsake your comfort, to go all in with Jesus. Jesus came to confront comfortable Christianity. He came to shake up the religious political platforms. He came to undo the systems and turn it all upside down. It's time that we get our convictions, not from CNN, MSNBC, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. We need to get our convictions from the Word of God. What does God's Word say? If you're a believer, you should be finding your convictions in the Word of God. What is the platform of Jesus? Love God, love people. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. You fought for the vulnerable. You lifted your voice up for the widow and the orphan. You stood for what God's word stands for. You stood with truth and with grace. In Romans 14, Paul said, welcome with open arms believers who don't see things the way you do. Welcome people with open arms. Don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. Paul goes on to say, he says, it's not your job to make it difficult for people. It's your job to love people. It's not your job to try to judge everyone. That's God's job. It's your job to love them. It's your job to treat them with kindness and respect. Who does God call us to love? All people? The president included? The vice president? The senators, the congressmen, the Supreme Court justices, everyone who's running for office? God calls us to love all people, to treat all people with kindness and respect. So I'm not following Ben Shapiro or Joe Rogan. I'm following Jesus Christ. I'm not following President Donald Trump or Vice President Biden. I'm following Jesus Christ. The more I look at you, the more I just want to hug the cross. This is where I find my identity. This is where I find my convictions. This is where I find my love, my forgiveness. America didn't save my life. Jesus saved my life. A president didn't break chains off me. Jesus broke chains off me. It wasn't a political group that gave me forgiveness for my sins. It was Jesus who gave me forgiveness.
Our nation needs this message right now. Why? Because our nation is so divided, and our nation is listening to the news that's stirring up more fear, more worry, more anger, more hostility. It's time we get our minds and our hearts back on what really matters. This is why Paul the Apostle had to speak in the Bible to this church in Philippi. He had to remind them they had become so divided listening to the Roman Empire, listening to who they thought should be the emperor, who they thought should be passing the laws. And Paul said, hold on, we are citizens of heaven. We are not of this world. I want to speak right now to every person who's watching. When you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you pledge allegiance to a kingdom that is higher than the American Empire, higher than any other nation out there. And as a citizen of that kingdom, God calls us to walk in a way that's pleasing to Him, to show love, to show honor, to pray for those who are in leadership, to walk in peace with everyone. Blessed are the peacemakers, to turn the other cheek. Let's remind ourselves we are citizens of heaven. If you're watching today, you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's a great day to make your citizenship secure, that you would say, you know what? I am tired of being pulled into the political games and the political theater of this nation. I am ready to pledge allegiance to a kingdom and a Savior who wasn't voted in and can't be voted out, who sits above all the presidents, all the emperors, all the laws. Why don't you make that decision right now? Say this with me. Jesus, I surrender to you. I'm all yours. I declare today, I am a citizen of heaven. And I will live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, we love you. We're praying for you. If you need a home church, come and join us in person right here at Victory in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 7700 South Lewis, or join us online every week. We stream our services live. Never forget this. Your best days are right in front of you.
Thank you for watching. This program is made possible by the generous donations of our television partners and friends.